we begin our meditation with prayer as we just sang, Lord, we thank you for calling the 12, giving them boldness to proclaim your word. And we pray that you would also continue to proclaim that word through us. Give us faith to believe and strength and boldness to share that word with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and tonight I want to use as my text Psalm 138. I'll be referring to several verses out of that psalm in the course of my message, but I'd like to especially begin with these words where David says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. This week, last week when I led chapel here with our children, I talked to them about how God created the world with his word, how sin came into the world. And sin is basically when people decide they don't want to listen to God's word and they don't want to do what God's word says. In a way, sin is kind of our attempt to make ourselves God. And ever since then, there has been this competition between self-made gods, whatever form they may take, and the one true God. There are the bad words that lead to sin, death, and destruction, and there are the good words, the words that come from God that lead to life and to salvation. God spoke those words through people. He didn't write them in letters in clouds in the sky or somehow on the plants or the rocks of earth, but instead he put those words in the mouths of people like Moses and Isaiah and David and especially Jesus, and then especially also those 12 disciples who would continue to go forth into the world and share that message, and now continuing through pastors and teachers and other servants and all of you as people of the priesthood of all believers. We, however, are challenged, just as people in the Bible were challenged and told to be quiet and not to speak. And so this sermon tonight is about that kind of boldness that God wants us to have. A boldness to believe, a boldness to share the truth of God's word. David said, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. You know, in David's day, there were these self-made human ideas about God. And the most popular was a group of gods that all pretty much went by the same name of Baal. Baal was a god that supposedly controlled the weather, thunder, lightning, rain, and then with rain, crops, a god that you could turn to in times of war to help save you from danger. Hannibal, the great Carthaginian general, was named after this god. And sometimes the Baal worshipers were required to make sacrifices to gain his favor. And sometimes those sacrifices even included the sacrifices of children. Archaeologists have discovered in the remains of Carthage in North Africa many, many bones of small children that had been offered as sacrifices to that god. That god is a god of tolerance, a god of immorality, a god of selfishness, a god that was very popular in David's day. And it was difficult for David to resist all of that. In the book of Numbers, we read about the people of Israel, and they were making their way to the promised land. They encountered all kinds of different difficulties and enemies along the way, but one of the most difficult ones were the people who followed Baal and who enticed them with sexual immorality. The Bible says as they did that, they joined themselves to Baal. David, on the other hand, urges us to follow the God not of tolerance and of self-fulfillment and self-satisfaction, but the God of truth, even sometimes when that truth is not what we want to hear, not what we want to do, but also a God who loves us and who is merciful to us and doesn't show his blessings and favors to us just because we do good things for him, but the one who actually makes sacrifices for us. Today, not much has really changed. The spirit of Baal is really the spirit of the devil, and that spirit still teaches the same message of immorality, of pride and of selfishness. And just as in David's day, that spirit often parades itself as being green and healthy and life-giving, in reality, its track record is the opposite, but bloody and destructive. God is the God of truth. God is the God of mercy. Baal tells us we should be free and we should be happy. God tells us, yes, I want you to be free and happy too, but not apart from me. We can see the effect of this spirit of tolerance, this spirit of immorality, this spirit of self-fulfillment and satisfaction bearing down on us today in our world. A survey was recently conducted among young Christians. These are Christians, consider themselves to be committed Christians. When asked if they felt comfortable sharing their faith with other people, they were very adamant about that. In fact, they rated higher than older previous generations. They were confident that they could share the message of Christ. But when you ask them who would they share it with, that was another story. They felt that it was not right. Almost half of them felt it was not right to share their faith with people of another faith, because that would be judging them. You can kind of see how they have been affected by the spirit of tolerance in our world today. God does not want us to go there. God does not want us to be caught into that trap and be led away from Him. And so David in Psalm 38 gives us some very encouraging words. He prays himself for boldness. He says, though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly. The proud He knows from afar. You revive me. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. You will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. In the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. We have that boldness from God. He wants to give that to us. And as we sometimes ourselves get drawn away from Him, we seek the forgiveness that He has won for us in His Son, Jesus, who kept the words of God perfectly and did what God commanded no one else to do, but to give His life as a sacrifice for the whole world. Sometimes, as we are tempted like Peter, Peter was told by Jesus, cast the net out for a catch of fish. Peter complained. He thought he knew better than Jesus. We've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. But in that miracle that followed, Jesus reminded Peter and all of us, the catch is up to God. The casting of the net is up to us. A few months ago, I had an opportunity to witness to a doctor at Barnes Hospital. This doctor was retired and had spent his entire life in the art of healing people. He had seen a lot of suffering in his life. And this is what really troubled him. Why would God allow so much suffering in this world? I told him that suffering is because of sin, and death is because of sin. And that's a mystery to all of us. And we can't understand it. But the one thing we can understand, and the one thing we can see, is that there's no amount of work that we can put forth, no amount of technology that we can come up with that's going to completely cure that problem. It's a spiritual problem and it needs a spiritual solution. And God has given thus that spiritual solution. Not in a God like Baal, who promises you to be happy by doing your own thing, but a God who promises to be with us. A God who says suffering is a part of a sinful world. But I have come into your world, and I have suffered with you, and I have died for you. And in that, you find forgiveness, true freedom, freedom from that terrible desire inside all of us to stop listening to God's word, to stop following Him, and to wander away from Him. God calls us back, and God gives us the strength and the courage that we need to speak that word to the world around us. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. O Lord God, thank you for men like David and the apostles that were called by Jesus on the Sea of Galilee and in other places, sent to the whole world to proclaim this truth of your mercy into the world. And we pray that you would continue to bless that message as it's sent forth. Give us the courage we need to resist the temptations around us. Give us the love that we need, as you have for the whole world, that we would sacrifice what we can give for their sakes in sharing with them the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.